scripture reading this morning is from Psalm chapter 12. The Lord really wants us to hear where this is coming from. So I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And please rise for the standing of God's word. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts, those who say, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us? Because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. On every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of man. This is the word of the Lord.
You know, sometimes the service goes on and things happen during the service that throw me off. And things, that's happened this morning a few times. And I have to struggle to get myself back in whatever you would call that, back in line or back in the spot or whatever. Maybe that happens to you too. And I think that we need to fight to not drift off and not drift off and just kind of go, oh, that was an interesting morning, that kind of a stuff, that kind of thing. We're not here, Edgar, we're not here for entertainment. We're not here for a slick show. We're here to praise the Lord and to worship him and to open his word. And so if you struggle with that, know that I struggle with that and I don't like that about myself, but we're not going to give up and give in and check out. Right? Right. We're not checking out. So let's pray to that end and get ourselves ready to jump into this passage. Father, we don't want to check out. We don't. We're here to worship you. If all we had was our voices, that's enough. We are here to worship you. If everything that was planned falls apart, it doesn't matter. We're here to worship you. So, Father, we ask that you would come and glorify yourself amongst us. Let us be a place that trusts in you, not in our plans, not in our flow of service, not in our PA system, not in Edgar's memory, not to forget things, and all of these things. That we'd be here to worship you as broken people like we are. So, Father, glorify yourself amongst us. Help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and understanding of your truth. We ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 This is quite the passage, because and a very relevant passage. We live in a culture where lying and deceit and flattery is very, very common. We have a new phrase called fake news. It keeps popping up everywhere. These stories that news agencies run with that some claim to be totally made up stories. I like watching documentaries, especially having to do with World War I or World War II. And what I found is that there is a lot of information about the wars that have been left out. Left out because it appears to benefit the winners in some way. There's a little bit of slant on some things that's included and some things that are not included. I received an automated phone call 2 weeks ago claiming to be from Revenue Canada. They're accusing me of something illegal with my taxes. And even though all my tax records and all my tax years are good and clean, they're still trying to scam. There's some kind of a scam that people are using the name Revenue Canada to try getting something out of me. In my teens and early 20s, my brothers and I, we were all cigarette smokers. And my middle brother had a particular method of asking for cigarettes. He would ask some nice questions. How are you doing? He would even work in some compliments, some flattery. But it was all a setup to warm you up for the question that he had. Can I bum a smoke? Can I bum a smoke? So we have lying and deceit and flattery everywhere in our culture. All of us have grown up with it, and we have it surrounding us right now. And it's always been very common throughout history. And of course, in David's time as well, as we see in Psalm chapter 12, making this a very, very relevant passage to us today in 2017. Chapter 12 is written by David during a time when he was in great conflict again. And he is just sick and tired of the lying, the deceit, the flattery that is going on around him. Verse 1 to 2. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. So David is calling on the Lord for rescue, calling to the Lord for help, which is so awesome. If you just stop and think about that for a little bit, you know, we get into so many situations all the time and we can be quick to complain and quick to think about the situation over and over again, just have this replaying over and over in our mind, or going and doing some research about the situation and not getting or bringing it to the Lord. But here David goes to the Lord. He brings his request to the Lord. He brings his need to the Lord. And by going to the Lord, he is exercising his faith in the Lord because he knows God alone can do something about this. And so he goes to God. Save, O Lord. Save, O Lord. He is in need of saving because the godly one is gone. The faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Godly one here is plural, just like the faithful is plural. So what's going on is the godly and the faithful, they've disappeared. Those that belong to the Lord, the ones that could be counted on to live for the Lord, keeping the Lord's commandments from a heart that loves the Lord, keeping commitments, honoring people with loyalty and trustworthiness and integrity, people whose words and deeds match up, those people are gone. They're silent. They're not saying anything anymore. They can't be spotted anymore because they're quiet. They don't seem to be around. No one is speaking God's truth or speaking up for his truth. Lies and flattery dominate everything. Smooth-talking, fake compliments, deceitful double hearts, saying one thing but meaning another thing, saying whatever to get whatever you want. This is going on throughout that culture that David is talking about. The community, neighbors lying to neighbors, relationships just being utterly trash. There's no honesty. Because we know that where there is no trust and where there's no honesty, mistrust grows and grows and destroys love and unity. So this isn't a case, David's not just talking about a case where people just accidentally mislead someone. This is much deeper than that. It's an embrace of deceit and lying and flattery and a rejection of God's truth and a quieting of people who know God's truth. And it's quite serious because we know from Matthew 12, verse 34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's from who we are that our words come. So this is a bad, bad situation that David is in. And those tongues, the lying, the deceit, the flattery, the tongues that we all have are so powerful. James 3, verse 5 to 8 paints a grim picture of how hard it is to tame that thing and the incredible damage that it can do. And that's why David calls for the Lord to take such drastic measures in verses 3 to 4. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts. Those who say, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us? The lying, flattery, great boasting is hated. May the Lord cut off these lips and tongues. May he bring that all to an end. David knows how destructive all of that is, and he wants the Lord to wipe it out. Just to wipe it out. The deceit, the lying, the flattery. Wipe it out, Lord. Perhaps we've come to live with and put up with and maybe embrace lying and deceit and flattery. You know, growing accustomed to it. Maybe we're at a point where we're thinking it's not a big deal anymore. Maybe we've embraced it and we do some of our own deceit and lying and flattery because it helps us get out of some sticky situations. It helps us not hurt someone's feelings. Today it seems like hurting a person's feelings is all right. To hold that up high and sacrifice truth, that's all right. Because feelings trump truth. So maybe we've fallen for that and we're into that whole kind of thinking that deceit and lying, that's okay. It saves us from getting into some situations that we don't want to get involved in. But lying, deceit, this double-hearted flattery, it's false, it's selfish, it goes against God. God is truth, he's pure holiness. So those things totally go against who the Lord is. And in verse 1 to 4, we hear God's heart through David. David is just sick of all of it and wants God to bring an end to it. And so he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord answered in verse 5, because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. So the Lord hears, we've heard this before, the Lord hears the plundered and the needy. He hears them crying out. We see this in verse 7. Those getting plundered are God's children. So of course he's listening to his children. You will guard us, verse 7 says. Us. That's David saying, you will guard us, Lord. So these are the Lord's kids speaking to the Lord who are getting plundered and who are in need. And the Lord will, he will rescue, he will save his kids. God will bring them into the safety that they long for. As we saw last week, he will bring his judgment on the wicked and give the reward to the godly. Give his reward. And that'll come upon our death or the second coming of Jesus Christ. So his safety is coming. It is ours. It's guaranteed. It's on its way. On this side of eternity or the other side of eternity, it doesn't matter. His safety is coming. But we also receive God's safety now. And it does look like a complete rescue of a situation, for sure, because he is our refuge. He does operate that way. We see it throughout Scripture. But also, those who belong to God, the Lord allows things to happen to us, tough things, challenging things, but he does something in the midst of it. He changes something, or he works it so that that tough challenge works towards our good, works out for our good and for his glory. That's what we're told in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. God's safety is so big that not only are we safe, but he changes and works things in a way that makes us more Christ-like. He will sustain us and provide for us. All of that, that's the Lord arising and bringing us to his safety. That's quite a marvelous thing to think about. The Lord brings us into his safety by changing situations, which in turn make us more Christ-like. We probably don't see that as safety very often, but that is part of God bringing us into his safety. Sometimes it's outright rescue. Other times it's, we got to go through the trial because he's changing us and making us more Christ-like. Fantastic. This is the Lord rescuing us, saving us. I often wonder about another way that the Lord comes to our rescue or comes to save us, or he is our refuge. And it has to do with how we are the Lord's representatives. That we are to step in for the poor and the needy in the name of God. God arises for the poor and the needy through his children, through you and me, speaking truth, coming to their defense, helping them, sustaining them, seeking what's right. We see this call from God throughout Scripture, like taking care of orphans and widows. So the rescue of God looks like you and I going and helping the poor and the needy, the plundered and the needy. So God does come to the rescue of his children who are being plundered by changing the situation, by sustaining them with strength, by bringing his children to do something, by rescuing and completely changing the situation, or ultimately, soon and very soon, bringing his judgment or his reward. He does come to our rescue. There often seems to be some time that passes by between the plundering and God arising and coming to our rescue. It seems like God doesn't respond instantly. In verse 5, the poor and the needy have been plundered. They are groaning for safety, which implies that they are in a state of need for some time. But verse 6 is a response to that waiting, and it's centered on the dependability of God's word. Verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times." So in this context of chapter 12, there is a comparison between the words of liars and deceivers and flatterers and God's word. God's word is purer than silver, which has been refined seven times. So God's word that has no impurities, it's ultra clean and pure and holy. His word stands through all time, and among the lying in this world, that is the only spot where you find truth. God's word. Priceless truth without error. That's why we cling to God's word. That's why we don't look for mystical, special words from the Lord. We go to the Lord as he's speaking to us in his word. And therefore, we can believe, verse 5, that God is and will arise to rescue us. What he says is true and is going to happen. In verse 7, "You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation." David believes and trusts God's word as pure and true, even though his situation has not yet changed. He believes God will rescue him from that lying and deceitful and flattering generation. He trusts in God's word because God's word is pure. and refined better than silver seven times. So he's hanging on to God's promises, knowing that his security is coming, his rescue is coming. And because God's word is pure, he protects his children with his word, exposing the lies, the deceit, the flattery. His word exposes that which is false because he is true. I think that's important to catch, because we want the Lord to come and rescue us from situations, but what we often want is for him to make the situation go away. But what often happens is he comes with his word and he opens our eyes to the truth in the midst of that situation, which brings rescue to us from the lies that we have bought into. So if something is going wrong in your family and you're in the midst of these trials and it's like, Lord, please come and rescue us. This sucks. This is terrible. Please just change everything. And what he does is he comes in with his word as you're reading it. He comes in with his truth, and the truth all of a sudden starts changing your thinking. And you're like, wait a minute, this isn't hopeless. This doesn't have to end in disaster. The whole situation is not hopeless. The Lord is here. He brings in his word. He is sovereign over what's taking place in our situation. Does that make sense? He rescues us with his word, with his truth. How are we going to be able to identify lies? How are we going to be able to hang on to the truth of who the Lord is if we don't have his truth, if he doesn't come and rescue us with his word, with the truth? We grow wise, we stop the pitfalls, falling into the pitfalls of sin. We are not deceived because of God through his word. So God has preserved his holy word so that you and I, his church, would know the truth according to him. So his truth, which is pure, and protection comes from his discernment, from his word, his guidance from his word, his reality from his word, his encouragement from his word. He rescues us with his word. You don't counter deceit and lying with the methods of the world. You counter it with the truth, pure truth, which comes only from the Lord. I don't understand how people who claim to be Christians expect to worship God in this world, yet they neglect God's truth, the Bible. I don't get it. That doesn't work. We've got to fill our minds and our hearts with God's word. We will not stand under the pressure and the attack and the deceit and the flattery of this world if we do not know God's word, if we do not put our trust in him according to what he has said. It's a very, very serious situation. That David's situation that he is describing is the same kind of situation that we've got today. Verse 8 says, on every side the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of man. It's a generation that struts around celebrating evil. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. So as vileness is exalted and promoted among the children of man, wickedness prowls around on every side. Wickedness increases. And that's where we are living today. Sin and wickedness and evil, it's all promoted and all around us. We cannot get away from it. If we are not into God's word, if we are not touching God's word, if we are not listening to the Lord through his word, if we are not trained by the word of God, starting now, no matter what level you're at, if you're not doing this, you're sunk. The world's lies and flattery will entrap you, without a doubt. Without a doubt. There is so much lying, deceit, and flattery going on around the topic of all kinds of things, even the topic of gender identity right now, with governments getting involved in it. All this incredible deceit around huge topics. How will you recognize any lies or deceit that's taking place in those arguments if you do not know God's word? Those that were once godly and faithful for God's truth in our culture are now silent and they're going along with public opinion. It's not much different than David's culture. Where are the people that are standing for God's truth? Where are those that are saying, no, that's not true? But even in such a lying, deceitful culture like we're in, God will protect us. God will protect us. All is not lost. And in fact, it is a good, we're in good shape because we have God's word and God is for us and God will protect us. That's his promise. Even with all the phone scams that are going on and identity thefts and ridiculous televangelists and laws threatening our families, God will protect us. The knowledge of his word is key because his word is pure. So it's a significant chapter, this chapter 12. And it really begs the question, are you sick of the lying and the deceit and the double-hearted flattery that is going on? Or are you participating in it? Are you speaking and promoting God's truth? Or have you gone silent going along with the world? Worshippers of the Lord grow in the knowledge of God's truth. We do. We grow in God's knowledge, the knowledge of God's truth. And these things can be spotted. You start growing in God's truth. You start spotting the lies and catching stuff that's in our culture. You stop falling for catchphrases. Here's just a little example of the marketing and the advertising that goes on out there. The more you grow in God's word, the more you're going to see these things as false. Things like Scotiabank, you know, you're richer than you think. No, I'm not. I'm not. Or British Airlines, the world's favorite airline. Well, I've never flown on British Airlines. It's not my favorite airline. Or Walmart, save money, live better. So if I shop at Walmart, I'm going to save a whole bunch of money and I'm going to be living way better. Adidas. Adidas company tells us nothing is impossible. Nothing's impossible. I guess if you buy a pair of Adidas running shoes, then your life is going to change entirely because nothing is impossible for you with your Adidas shoes on. Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. The happiest place on earth is Disneyland. Worshippers of God grow in seeing through lies and deceit and flattery because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the pure sinless sacrifice, took our sin upon himself on the cross and gave us forgiveness, making us God's children, born again, new creations. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, as John 14, verse 17 calls him, opens our eyes to God's truth, rescuing us by exposing the lies and the deceit that's out there. He is sustaining us. He is changing the situation. He is sending his children to help us. His help, his rescue is coming this side of eternity or the other side of eternity. It doesn't matter. God's rescue is coming to us in this world. Church, we've got to fix our eyes on the Lord through his word. We've got to feed ourselves on God's word. You know, come to catechism class on Wednesdays. Come to church every Sunday morning with your Bible. Make a Bible reading plan and stick to it. Discuss scripture with brothers and sisters. Read good biblical books by solid Christians. Equip yourself, train yourself in God's pure word so that you can face this world and be faithful to the Lord and standing in tough situations, doing what is right according to God, being truth tellers and truth exposers, and not being silent. Not being silent. All of this for the glory of God our Father. Let it not be said about Calvary Baptist Church, where are the godly? The faithful have vanished. May that never, ever be said about any of us. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing us with your word. Lord, we need you to draw us to your word. We need you to give us strength to say no to other things and pick up your word and to feed ourselves, to renew our minds with your word. Lord, we cannot spot the lies and the deceit and the flattery that we have been sucked into by the world. Only you and through you can we spot those things. Father, we don't want to just go along with what the world is saying. We want to be your light in this world. We want to be in the world, not of the world. We want to bring Jesus into conversations. Father, help us. Help us, Lord. This is a culture that is just so strange and being okay with things that aren't true. Father, help us to be sick of the lying and the deceit and the flattery, the double-heartedness, and to rejoice in your truth and speaking your truth and bringing your truth into all situations. Please, Father, let that be so. Let us never be standing on the sidelines being quiet and just watching things go by and shrugging our shoulders. Let us be your kids that glorify you. We ask this. This is a big thing, and this is going to hurt. But Lord, let us be serious about worshiping you, not about being cultural Christians or Sunday morning Christians, but worshipers of the sovereign Lord every single day in every circumstance. Let that be so, Father, for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.